You have the introduction there. This is our fourth study in faith and works. I think we'll do six. Amen. I know we're going to definitely do five because I've already got five done. Amen. So in your introduction there, if you've got your pen, in our last two lessons, we looked at James making his case for true faith naturally producing works. In our last two lessons, we looked at James making his case for true faith naturally producing works. Okay, listen, folks, James is not saying, we're going to look at it here, James is not saying that works save. He say that works show people we're saved. Amen? And there's a lot of Christians, that don't have a nickel's worth of works to show, but they've got plenty of talk. Listen, we need more walk than talk. Amen? Well, I'll say that again. We need more walk than talk. There's enough talk. Amen? And so, he does so by calling four witnesses. Okay, he has already called, and we have a big blank line here, Brother Warmed and Filled. That was the first brother we studied here. He's not really a brother, amen, but he calls himself a brother. Brother Warmed and Filled. And then we looked at Brother Faith with No Works. That was last week, okay? Both of whose faith failed the test. Okay, James points out they said they had faith, but they didn't have any, okay? So they failed the test. James continues by calling his third witness. A third witness. And we have here, will Brother Abraham please take the stand? And you see that in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Okay? When he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar. So here's Brother Abraham. Number one tonight, and we'll continue into next week as we look at this. Number one, we have the temptation, first of all. What's the temptation, Pastor? Well, you know, the first tactic the devil used against man is still a very effective tactic. Do you know what it is? It's doubt. It's doubt. The first tactic that Satan used was he came into the garden clothed as a serpent and he said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" First question mark in the Bible is in Genesis 3:1. By the way, God had said, you can eat of every tree of the garden except one. Satan is very, very clever at twisting words. Amen. He split many a church by twisting words. And he says here, has God said you couldn't eat of every tree? No, he said the opposite. He said you could eat of every tree except one. So the temptation here, if we do a quick evaluation, number one, a quick evaluation, go over to Romans chapter 3. Hold your place in James because we're going to flip back and forth between James 2 and Romans chapter 3. I'm going to get there, and as soon as I get there, I'm going to start reading these verses, and you'll see what I'm talking about by a temptation. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not only of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So here, especially in chapter 3, verse 28, we see, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And if we do a quick evaluation of that in James 2:21, where James says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? A quick evaluation leads us to a quizzical conclusion, number two. We have a quick evaluation. It leads us to a quizzical conclusion. And that is, if we scratch our heads, if we read this quick, we'd say, Brother Hauser, James and Paul, they don't agree. They don't get along. That's a contradiction in the Word of God. Now, by the way, that comes from a quick evaluation. Number three, we're going to do a quality investigation. Brother Tom, I knew you'd appreciate that point. Amen. A quality investigation. Amen. Brother Tom and I both worked in the aerospace business. Brother Kelly, I know you did too. A quality. What's the quality investigation here? If we do a quality investigation of these two texts, this will show that these two apostles' teaching regarding justification are not contradictory, but complementary. Okay? Very important that we get this down. Okay? Paul deals with Abraham's, if you go back to Romans there, Paul deals with Abraham's beginning of faith in God. Okay? Paul deals with Abraham's beginning of faith in God. You look at Romans chapter 4 in verse number 2. Okay? Romans chapter 4 in verse number 2. Paul says here, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Here, Paul is dealing with a statement that is made. If you go all the way back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, we have the reference there. It's important we look this up. Genesis chapter 15 is a statement that is made here, and we see it back in Romans chapter 4. Genesis 15:6, and remember what had happened here. God had made the promise to Abraham that he was going to give him a son, was going to give him a seed. You're not going to go childless. You don't need to go through Eliezer, who's the steward of your house. I'm going to give you a child. Verse 6, it says, "And he believed the Lord, and it counted him for righteousness." Okay? God counted him for righteousness. If you go down further in Romans chapter 4, it says, verse number 4, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So Paul here is dealing with Abraham's beginning of faith, where his faith started. Okay? Very important we get that down. It started by simply believing God and trusting him. By the way, that's where all faith starts. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay, that's Hebrews 11:6. Secondly, Paul not only deals with Abraham's beginning of faith in God, he deals with Abraham's standing before God. In Romans 4:2, it's an important little phrase that God gives us if you look at it. It says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory," and there's a semicolon there, "but not before God." See, works don't do anything for our standing for God. We trust Christ and Christ alone, and therefore we're justified by our faith. Okay? Before God. We said it last week, the week before. Paul really dealing with the vertical relationship. Him and God. Okay? Now we look at James 2:21. James deals with Abraham's maturing of faith in God. Okay? James deals with Abraham's maturing of faith in God. He says here in chapter 2, verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Okay, if you go back to Genesis chapter 22, we have the reference there. Genesis chapter number 22, and here's the story. Here's what, by the way, Abraham believed God, and then 60 years later, we find him here at Mount Moriah. Okay? I would say that James here is dealing with his maturing of his faith, whereas Paul was talking about when his faith started. Okay? Important. Genesis 22:1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt," or test, "Abraham, and said unto him," Abraham, "and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Okay? So here, James is talking later on in Abraham's life that you can see the maturing process being justified before men because of his works. Listen, folks, works are the only thing that justify us before men. It's not us saying we have faith, it's us proving it. The proof is in the pudding. Amen. The proof is in our life that we live, what we do with our faith. Okay? So not only is James dealing with the maturing of faith in God, but then he is dealing with the working out faith before men. Working out faith before men. Look at Genesis 22, and I'll just hit some highlights here, because, boy, the time just gets away so fast. Verse number 3 of Genesis 22. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took how many of his young men? 2 of his young men with him. And Isaac his son, and clave the wood and for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Now, if you jump all the way down to verse number 19, and I'm trusting that most of us know the story here, that Abraham was ready to offer Isaac upon the altar. God stayed his hand. He was testing him, wanted to prove him. There was a ram caught in the thicket. They had the burnt offering. But verse 19 of Genesis 22 tells us something. It says, so Abraham returned unto his young men. See, Abraham's faith that he said he had was here justified before men because of his works. By the way, not only 2 young men, there was a third. Isaac. Isaac, amen, saw Abraham's faith. And here's a great way to put this, and I think it really wraps it up here. And that's by a fellow named Lehman Strauss, great preacher out of the Detroit area years ago. He said, Paul looks at the cause of justification and sees it from God's viewpoint. That's faith. Faith is the cause of our justification. Okay? James looks at the effects of justification and sees it from man's viewpoint. I guess if we could look at it this way, we could think of a tree. A tree, the reason a tree bears fruit is because of its roots. Amen? The roots are our faith. The fruits that fall off the tree are our works. Amen? I think it makes sense that way. So we have the temptation. The temptation is to do a quick evaluation. You get a quizzical conclusion. But if we do a quality investigation, we find that faith and works are not contradictory. They're complementary. Okay? Number 2, the triumph. Not only the temptation, but Roman numeral number 2, the triumph. Abraham's walk with God culminated in a series of surrenders. Abraham's walk with God culminated in a series of surrenders. Other surrenders, leaving Ur, remember that? By the way, that's some kind of faith right there. God said, go, and I'm not even telling you where you're going. I think most of us would say, hey, listen, I need to know if I'm heading north, south, east, west. I need to know I'm going somewhere. God said, go, and Abraham went. He surrendered to God there. Leaving Ur, separating from Lot. You have a blank line there. Separating from Lot. You remember that? That was a surrender. He said, look, Lot, you just choose out whatever land you want, and I'll choose the opposite, and we'll go, and we don't want any strife between us. That was a surrender. And then we have another one, sending away Hagar and Ishmael. That was a surrender. Son of the bondwoman, not a son of promise. By the way, that was when he tried to take matters into his own hands. And it's never a good thing. Trust God. Amen. Trust God. By the way, it doesn't eliminate human responsibility. We're supposed to do what God says and follow the revealed will of God. But God had said, I am going to give you a child. And he took matters into his own hands. Had to send away Hagar and Ishmael. All prepared him for this high point, the willingness to offer Isaac. And so we'll pick up the remainder of this study next week in our study there. So you have the temptation and the triumph. And next week we're going to look at the trust, the truth, the testing. There's all kinds of good teas. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll ask God's blessing, have our invitation. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, faith is the victory. But Lord, it ought to produce good works in our life. Lord, we pray that you'd help those of us, Lord, that have received Jesus Christ, Lord, to show it in our lives. Lord, that we would always be seeking to be a blessing to others, Lord. For we know that others, Lord, was your mindset. You always were about others. We pray that you'd bless now in our invitation time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 4:18, ladies. 4:18. Amen.